Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This is an episode about the corona pandemic and how this will affect our lives and our mobility behavior and our relationship with the technology that we have. It is the number one theme of this time, and I can't escape it, you can't escape it, and it affects us all. So yeah, there is an episode on it. A few things up front. I believe the virus exists. It is pretty contagious, and people die with and from it. This is, let's say, the basic understanding that we should have on this episode, on this podcast episode. If you feel that I am wrong with any of these points, you may skip this one and tune in next time when I will have a different thing to talk about. So the virus is here. It changes the world. It changes our societies, and it changes each and every single person on this globe. It affects our mobility. The type of mobility, the frequency, the vehicles we're going to use. So there are changes that will remain beyond beyond today, beyond what we see today. It will also affect the way we plan, we develop, and we use vehicles and mobility. Even before Corona, we had an exponential growth in technology. We are living in this hockey stick time. So when we look back, there was pretty small movement until, let's say, 50, 60 years ago. Then it's speeded up, particularly after the Second World War. We saw a growing growth, and the speed was raising in the development of technologies. And in the past 20 years, we are in this hockey stick development, and which speeds it up again. And you can be sure this is not the end. So the speed will grow. We will see this exponential growth in the future. Now we have a disruptor. What Nicholas Taleb calls a black swan, something that happens where we have hardly any or no control at all. It comes surprising. It is no one had foreseen it. But as of today, everybody says, "Yeah, this has been possible, and this has been foreseeable." But there was no chance for us to change anything to hinder this to happen. We have this disruptor with the coronavirus and all the limitations that we experience. And I'm recording this one late December 2020. The first vaccinations are delivered, and there is a certain hope that this will help and the pandemic, let's say in 2021, mid of 2021. But no one knows, nobody knows, and nobody can foresee what's happening in here. In addition, we experience a deep crisis of meaning in the automotive industry. We have various technical disruptions. This starts with the connectivities of cars, with the high amount of software, of digitization of cars, autonomous or automated driving is something that will change the automotive industry. It's also the electric drivetrain that will replace the combustion engines and gearboxes. So there is quite a lot of things that will come. Besides that, we will see new business models. We will see new forms of ownership of cars, and we will see new forms of mobility. I personally noticed the very first slowdown of the vehicle industry in the summer of 2018, when in China the growth of the registrations of new cars slowed down. That was the very first indicator that the automotive industry may face hard times. And in summer 2019, that became more and more obvious. And if you talk to people like me in the industry, everybody will tell you that there was a slowdown in business, that the business opportunities shrinked. And so that was a turning point in the summer of 2019. The coronavirus and the measures we take to limit the problems that this virus causes is accelerating the changes. It is acting even more disruptive. And we will see new players, we will see new companies, we will see old companies dying. And this would have happened anyway, but the corona pandemic is accelerating this, like corona is accelerating a lot. We will face dramatic changes in life in the next months and years. Things will be totally different from what they are today in, let's say, 5 to 10 years from now. In this podcast episode, I'm going to analyze three of these changes that I see and their consequences for mobility, for technology, and for cars that we have. The first one, the first change is new work and new forms of work that we will see. Let's start this one with a little anecdote out of my life. I started my business 5.5 years ago in May 2015. And when I kicked it off, I had a few cornerstones that were absolutely set and that I did not discuss about. One was, for example, infrastructure as small as somehow possible. No people working constantly for me, no external money, no external expectations. It's my thing. And one of the reasons why I started my business was that I had the feeling that there is more in life than going to an office every morning and doing work for somebody else and then going back in the evening, which I had done for 25 years at that point in time. And I loved it over a large amount of these different jobs that I had. But at the end of the day, my feeling was I should spend more time mobile, location independent. I should use my apartment at Mallorca more. And so I had the idea, yeah, when I'm independent, when I have my own business, when I'm a solopreneur, then I will have the chance to spend more time in the sun, on the beaches, and still do an excellent job for my clients. And before I started my business, I met an old friend of mine in one of the bars down there at Mallorca. And I talked to him about this and then said, yeah, I'm planning this and I'm dreaming about this. And then he said, hey, Peter, why don't you attend the DNX conference? And DNX stands for Digital Nomads. The Digital Nomads are a comparably new movement, meaning it's came up in the last 6, 7, 8 years. And it basically is location-independent work, is running your business from anywhere on the globe, having, I mean, the ideal situation is that you have a product, that you have a shop, that you have something that more or less works by itself. You set it up over a strong hustle time, then you put it online, you do it on the internet, and then you just sit there and count the money and optimize the processes and expand. And that's the basic idea of the DNX, the Digital Nomad Movement. And I attended this conference and I found, all right, there here are 500 people dreaming exactly the dream I am dreaming. And then there were 50 people that were actually living that dream. And there were some of them working as freelancers online, making a few 10,000 euros of revenue per year. Others had $1 million businesses that they ran from a hamrock somewhere on Bali or in Thailand, and doing business from there. And I realized, all right, I'm not dreaming an unrealistic dream. It's reality. I can turn it into reality. I can do it. And so I started that, and was a bit long the story now, but this is a new form of work that we will have, and I can see this growing. So home office was a no-go for many companies about a year ago. Today, it is very normal. It works in most cases better than expected and even better than before. So one of my friends runs a design company in Stuttgart, and he had exactly that mindset. I want my people to be here in the office all day, 7 days, I don't know, 5 days a week and all year round, and I want to see them. And now he's like, nope, if I can do it with an online conference, if I can have a digital conference instead of a meeting, I'm going to do this. It's more efficient, it's faster, it saves me money. And parts of this will remain in the future. We will have, as I see it, a mix of home office work. Whatever can be done from the home office will be done from the home office. And there will be face-to-face meetings. There will be big company meetings. There will be team meetings in the future that will be analog, that will be real, that will be in a meeting room. But we will have a change in mobility. People will not drive in, will not commute anymore, will not drive to work in the morning and back in the evening. But they will stay at home many days a week, whether it's 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week. But they will stay home and they will not be on the road in these times when we have commuting traffic anyway, when the roads are stuck with people. I mean, they will put a release on that. We will see that we can save office space. So, I mean, if you come into the office just a day or two per week, you will not need a fixed working place anymore. And you can save many of the desks that you had. So you can have more flexible office spaces and you will have smaller office spaces. Which also then leads to that the number of parking places you need in front of your building that you need to reserve for your guys and girls is going down, is shrinking. And people will have more time. People will be able, instead of sitting in a traffic jam or on a train commuting to work, people will have time, either quality time with their family or they can work for their companies. And so all this will change. So we will have a reduced mobility, less cars on the road. We will have less people in trains, less traffic jams. The entire parking infrastructure will be different from what we see today. So we have these changes there, and they will remain after the corona pandemic. On the other hand, of course, there will be jobs where I'm super happy that the people are not in a home office. For example, my dentist, the pilot of an aircraft I'm sitting in, the police, fire brigades, emergency services, but also the guy behind a bar counter when I'm having my beer there. I will be super happy when there is a person not working from home office, but being there. Plus, that we are social beings. We need people around us. Some of us have a stronger need for this, some not so much. But at the end of the day, we need to talk to other humans. We need to communicate with other humans. We need to have this direct communication without a digital filter to communicate with other people. And we need all sensory channels for a full, complete, and satisfying communication. An online video call is good if you want to exchange a couple of facts, if you want to agree in something, if you want to organize something. But if you want to really meet people, you need to have a full sensory, all sensory channels. You need to see them, the full body. You need to smell them. You need to hear them, not through a microphone, but live directly. And I mean, this will be effect for the future as well. So new work means that there will be a balance between home office and presence office. And we will be in our offices and meeting rooms for exactly those occasions when it makes sense. We will travel on site, we will be on site. And if digital communication is sufficient, then we stay at home or at any other location we want to be. The second trend that I see the corona pandemic is bringing us is a new way of social interaction. We as humans need this direct social interaction, from looking into the eyes of our partners, of our of the people we talk to handshakes. I mean, we Germans are very strong handshakers, and other cultures do this as well, or have other rituals of meeting people. In Spain, for example, we have the besitos, the little kisses, and the huggings that are important if you meet people. And that goes down to sex, which is something that we should do face-to-face and not digital. My favorite bar at Mallorca, Tim's Bar at Port Andratx, recently posted on Facebook, "Besos will be back soon." I hope so. And I have, this indicates that they post this, indicates how strong the need for meeting people face to face in a bar, having a beer, and then hugging and kissing them when you meet them. Another situation where physical tightness, where being close to other people is essential, is for example, if you watch a sport event. I mean, we see this all these what we call the ghost games at the German Soccer League. But also, I'm watching the NFL, the National Football League of American Football, every Sunday evening on TV, and seeing these stadiums without people is a super strange, super strange thing. And being there, and I mean, sometimes there are a very low number of people in the arenas. But, I mean, that's not the real feeling. That's not the real thing. So if you go to a soccer game, if you go to a football game, a hockey game, whatever, You want to be squeezed into masses of people. You want to party. You want to be part of a larger crowd. You want to sing songs. And I mean, this again makes us human to be part of these groups. And it's pretty much the same in clubs, discotheques, and at concerts. So my last time at a club was a rock night here at Böblingen at a club, and we really enjoyed it, and I'm really missing that, being stuck in there listening to loud music and being squeezed into other people and into a mass of people. The same with live concerts, rock concerts. I used to visit about, well, half a dozen per year, maybe in the last years. That had been far more when I was younger. But yeah, every 8 to 10 months, weeks, I'm visiting one of these concerts. And I'm heavily missing that. It's not only the live event, it's not only the music, but it's also seeing, meeting people there and being part of a larger crowd. It remains to be seen when, how, and if at all, handshakes, besitos, hugs, concerts, sport events will return in a way. I have the fears that we will see limits there for a very long time, which then will also affect mobility. So if digital communication persists on a large scale, there will be less mobility. And when we keep on with the distancing, for example, when concerts take place in drive-in cinemas, on drive-in situations, then we need a new infrastructure. We need to have these drive-in places, and there are hardly any existing in Germany. There's a little more space in North America, but in Europe, there is not too much space, particularly not in urban areas, where it makes sense to have drive-in event arenas. And so we will need to build these infrastructures and try to find out how we can bring 1,000, 2,000 cars for a rock concert into one arena. Plus the fact that watching a rock band in a car is probably not sexier than watching them on a screen. So maybe we will go to more online events in that area as well, but that again will change a lot in our behavior and in our mobility. The third point I'd like to talk about, and now it gets a little more automotive focus, is new mobility concepts, new vehicles, and new ownership models we will see in the future. The corona, the pandemic, and the restrictions we have accelerated a couple of latent trends, a couple of trends that had been there that would have happened anyway. It just accelerated, it speeded them up. But there was a 180 degrees turnaround in one of the trends in mobility. I used to drive quite a lot with a car sharing service. So the idea is you have a couple of cars parked somewhere. One of these cars will be close to you. You book this with a smartphone app. Then you go to the car. You open it with the app. And then you drive from A to B. You drop the car. You lock the car. And the app sends you an invoice or books the amount from your credit card, and then somebody else can use this car. So this vehicle sharing was about to kick off in Germany and Europe and in other parts of the world. So it's a self-driving vehicle sharing. It slowed down even before Corona. The fleets were cut. The areas where you could rent this car and drop the car were limited. So it's pretty difficult to make a business out of this even today. I mean, everybody from a theoretical point of view, if we think about it, we say, yes, this makes sense. But if it gets down to reality, many people just don't do it. And for me, one of the reasons is the dirt or the hygienic situation in these cars. So when I enter this car and I find there's dirt on the carpet, and my first thought was, who was sitting on the seat before me? Who touched this steering wheel before me? What person was it? And in the pandemic, people are learning how viruses and bacteria spread. So we know that there is, it may be contagious through the air or through touching surfaces or whatever. And people that had not known anything about this a year ago, they know all the details today. And this is something that changed due to the pandemic, and that will remain. I mean, this will not change. This will cannot go away. So this vehicle sharing may be even more limited due to that, that people say, as long as I don't know if this car, the steering wheel, all the surfaces are really clean, I won't use it. And there will be ways out of this, yes, but it will be hard, first of all, to develop the technology, to install the technology, and then to teach the people that with an ultraviolet flash that we have in the car, lighting in the car, ultraviolet disinfection, the car will be safe to use. I mean, that will take quite some time. What also will change is flying with aircrafts, and that will change. And maybe first of all, it's just the feeling. If you are squeezed into a public transport, aircraft or bus or train, you suddenly recognize everyone else as a potential virus carrier. So people will have a bad feeling. There's a person, I don't know, sitting besides me, squeezed in shoulder by shoulder. This will give us a bad feeling. And this applies for all forms of public transport. So I personally have not used public transport in the past months. Definitely not since early October. During the summer, a very few times. Before that, at least at cities like Berlin, I always used buses and undergrounds to get around in the city. But I think I'm not the only one. All traffic statistics show that we have a lower use of public transport and a higher use of cars. And everyone that can somehow afford it, that can somehow organize it, is using a car. So I'm not alone in this world, and we will see consequences in our mobility. Particularly for the vehicles that we use and also for the vehicle ownership. The idea that we will have shared traffic will come. We will have shared vehicles in future cities and future scenarios. But my feeling is that this will be far slower than we had expected it before Corona and than we may think it today as well. What does this mean for future vehicles? They will be connected. They will be electric. And they will be small, meaning with a small spatial footprint. And they will be privately owned, meaning that we will not have a sharing. People want to have their private car. I mean, this is a strong tendency as of today. We have this. It is people want to have their own cars. And the idea of car sharing will not be as strong as we had thought it. But privately owned cars will be it. plus the fact that public transport is not as popular anymore, so also the need for a privately owned vehicle. This may be something like a Renault Twizy, a little two-seater, four wheels, two seats, there's a little weather protection in it. It's fully electric and it's quite fun to ride, actually. And I can see vehicle concepts like this a strong part of future mobility. An alternative are electric scooters. I'm talking about the scooters you sit on, the two-wheelers. There are these electric scooters where you stand on. I see them more as toys. I don't think that they will have a long-lasting life. But these electric scooters to sit on are, as an alternative, e-bikes, meaning traditional bikes supporting the driver with an electric engine. Those are also vehicle concepts that we're going to see in urban areas of the future. We will see a switching from public transport to such vehicles. People that drive around with an oversized, huge SUV in a city today, they will want to do this tomorrow as well. They will not go to these, but people that are either not mobile today or used public transport or smaller cars, they will switch to these small footprint electric vehicles in the near future. What we need for this, and this is one of the major points, the major limiting bottlenecks that I see in electric mobility, are charging options. We need to provide, and this again will change the face of our cities. This will change we'll need infrastructure requirements. We have infrastructure requirements. We need these charging stations, and they should be pretty quick. Many people will need them at home. If they have an own garage, it will not be a problem. But for those living in areas without garages and inner city areas, we need to provide them close to their homes, but also in offices and shopping malls. But that I see as the easier part. The hard part will be to go through the living areas and offer charging options there. All right, quick summary. I talked about three things influencing mobility of the future, of the post-corona pandemic mobility. One is we will have new ways of work, new world of work. The second one is we will have new social interactions. This includes attending concerts and sports events. The big question behind this is how much of the social, the physical distancing we experience today will remain. I think a couple of things will remain, so we will have a change in there. And we will have new mobility concepts, and they differ in a few aspects from the mobility concepts we had for the future we had a year ago, due to the hygienic reasons and the need for a private ownership of a vehicle. At the very end, a few takeaways. New mobility will be old mobility, but with different vehicles. Home office and cocooning will result in less traffic. And there will be fewer public and more private forms of mobility. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-hoffmann.com. rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on podcast@beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.